Welcome, adventurer riders and grill masters, to D&D and Big D, where we put the D in D&D. We're a group of friends who play through published adventures and review them in postmortem. We also invite other podcasts, content creators, and many other RPG celebrities out there. Howdy, y'all. This is Dungeon Meister Paul, also known as Stunt Monkey Z. For this one-shot, we're playing through The Buried Shrine of Lueda, written and exclusively DM'd by the magnificent, the omnipotent, the astoundingly generous, and all-around good guy, One Page Mage. He volunteered to DM this adventure and is readily available at his Patreon page. We'll leave that link in the info part of this episode. Our special guest PC is one of our newest RPG family members who hails from Texas with his alchemical components that go from the grill to your mouth, Dan the Alchemist Fire Barbecue Wizard. Check out his dry rubs to add a bit of magic to your next barbecue. Lastly, don't forget to click the subscribe button wherever you get your podcast ear candy, follow us on Twitter, leave us a review, and tell your friends about us. And now, get your dungeoneering pack ready as we listen to The Buried Shrine of Lueda.
All right. Well, I guess first, thank you. I'm really excited to do this. I'm going to do my very best to keep everything on track and keep us from not going too far down the rabbit hole such that we don't get to everything. But looking forward to a good time. Should be able to keep things loose and get through a fun little adventure here for you. So if you don't mind, let's start with, I guess, Birch. Are you first on this list for telling us about a character?
I guess that'll work. So I'm Birch. I'm a ranger, elf ranger. Spent some time in the service and got done. Loved the woods, loved tracking and, you know, scouting out. And started to make it out on my own and start doing some adventuring and scouting for, you know, different groups and parties that needed a little extra help with that portion of it. So
excellent. Now let's go to the Gloamfire. Sauron.
Yes, I am Sauron the Gloamfire. I am a dark elf fighter, and I've spent some time on a ship. I've decided that I didn't want to be commanded anymore, and so I am setting out to make a name for myself.
Wonderful. And then next, we're going with Squeakers.
Hi, I am Squeakers, and I am a halfling wizard, and I have a big, brown, puffy ponytail that a lot of people say looks like a squirrel's tail, and I really, 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 really love coffee. I always have a canteen of it, and I am working on perfecting a perfect donut recipe, so if you have any ideas on what that would be, just let me know. And yeah, that's me. That's Squeakers.
Marvelous. Now let's meet Finky McGillicuddy, known to his friends as Mac.
Yeah, Finky McGillicuddy's my name. I'm a halfling, barbarian, known to be muscle for, you know, really anyone who wants me, and sometimes even people don't. sometimes I just sort of find myself a place and naturally start, you know, hanging around there and making sure that the type of people who I want to hang around are hanging around. And, you know, people, I don't want to say stay in line, but they definitely don't get out of line, if you catch my drift.
Excellent. And then we have Kermy Tellall.
My name's Kermy Tellall, and I'm a rogue. I'm human, so I'm nothing special. I just kind of live out in the swamps, and I talk with the animals and just hang out there and help around, you know? Just robbing from the rich that come through and give to the poor.
All right. Well, I'm going to introduce a couple things about the adventure, and I may prompt for some ideas to help us build the story out a little bit here.
Oh, fun.
Let's go ahead and jump into this. Our adventure takes place in the sleepy town of Dombach. We find ourselves a small group of adventurers. You might call them, I don't know, Squeakers. What would you call this group? Ragtag? Motley Crew?
Well, with all of the melee folks that we've got here, you're a pretty ragtag bunch of punchers and throat slitters. I mean, we're always mayhem.
Brigands. I like brigands.
Brigands, do it. Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, bring it, brigands.
This group of brigands is checking around town for some work because they need money. Mac, why does this group need some money right now?
Well, you know, we've been we we've been looking to fund sort of starting our own place to open and hang out. We're kind of a little tired of trying to find different places, maybe not quite a clubhouse, maybe a lounge type of place, some place where we can serve up donuts if we ever get that recipe perfected, or something like that.
In search for the funds for their donut factory.
Yes.
Friggins have just about given up hope because there doesn't seem to be much work in this town. Then, before they head out one morning, they see on the message board is a solitary notice. Looks like a job. It might even be better than their last job. Birch, what was this group's last job?
Well, we don't like to talk about the escorting of the princess to the swamp.
Didn't go well, huh?
No, it went well. It was just, I don't tend to do so well during swamps. They're too icky for me. I'm good.
The word escort in that sentence is doing quite a bit of lifting.
Yes, yes.
Hey, she came on to me.
Oh, dear. I mean, you got to think, you know, I'm down here on the ground. I'm so small and swamp and you kind of, you know, came right up to my nose.
The group leans in to read the message board. Experienced adventuring crew wanted. Pays well. Inquire at the Scholar's House outside the town gate.
Check. Scholar's House. Let's go. Yeah.
Already sounds better than the last job.
Gotta be better than, yeah, that. Yeah, we don't talk about it.
Oh, yes, I concur.
Scholar's House sounds like a place I could make myself handy. Probably not with the scholarly part, but the housing part.
You get to the door of this house and give it a knock and promptly greeted by an old man who looks up at the crew of you and says, "Well, yes, I think you'll all do very nicely. Come on in, please. Wow, quick notice. I'm so glad you found my notice. Come in. Would you like some tea?"
"I have tea, but thank you."
Okay. Well,
I would like a glass.
"Oh, excellent. I'll go get some cups. Have a seat. And as you step in and find a living space, you look around and you see couches and chairs, but they're all covered in papers and books and notes everywhere as far as you can see.
Finky knocks some papers off one seat and sits himself down, you know, crosses his legs and pulls out his own flagon and says, I think I got my own drink here handy. So thank you, though."
"Okay." You hear from the other room.
Squiggins is going to make herself comfortable on a pile of books.
"Oh, perfect." You kind of wait for a minute and he comes out carrying his little tea tray and passes it around for anyone that would like a drink and says, "Well, this is going to be great. I've got a little job for you, and I can pay your group some gold if it works out well. Does that sound good?"
"Sounds like a fair start. What is this?
Excellent.
What is it you wish of us to do?"
"See, I like to research archaeology, and there are some ruins, you know, not too far away, and I'm pretty sure that we have located the lost shrine of Luida, deity of wonder. You see, what I need you to do is just go and check it out and get inside and just make sure, you know, there's not anything lurking that would kill me while I'm doing my research, and then you'll have your reward. How's that sound?"
So it sounds like you want us to shoot first so that you can ask questions later.
"Well, I mean, you know, if there are nice people inside, then I suppose you don't want to shoot them. But, well, how about, I mean, are any of you locals, any of you around from around here?"
"Nope.
Most of my life I've been around here."
"Oh, good. So you can tell your friends here all about the barrows here in the hills, right? Go ahead."
Yes, the barrows. You know, Pa used to take us out camping in the barrows from time to time. It's not a particularly safe place, as I recall. Is it? Barrow's Is that the forested part or is that the more hilly part?
The hills, the rolling hills with the crypts and the tunnels and the bandit hideouts and the monsters. Yeah, that part.
Yeah, he was a pretty irresponsible father, but he also had a lot of kids, so I think he saw us as pretty expendable. that's why he was willing to take us into such a dangerous land. It sounds like your standard, what we call high fiber job, high fiber, meaning we clear it out, all the bad stuff. So,
oh, I see. That's a good one. I'm going to have to remember that. I should put it in my postings next time I have a job. I'll just put it in big letters at the top. High fiber. Well, are we good? Does this sound good?
This sounds like my old sergeant's quote. Six of you going in the jungle, four of you ain't coming back.
Is that because we're so rich?
Stay on your toes. That's all I'm saying.
I would definitely suggest staying on your toes. So, and I forgot to mention, if you can get it done by tomorrow and then get back here and escort me once it's all cleared out so I can start my research, then I might be able to give you a little bonus. How's that sound?
Sounds good to me. I don't know about y'all, but I think I'm ready to head out. We don't need, do you have any sort of map of the place or?
Oh, yes, I do. And he goes and he gets a stack of papers and just drops it onto the table and starts spreading it out. And he's got like 10 different maps of the area. And like half of them don't make any sense because they've got roads all over the place where there are no roads. And you start looking at it. And Squeakers, probably being a learned wizard, might be able to figure it out pretty quickly that these are maps of the area as it was like hundreds of years ago. And he's pointing to things and pointing out all these landmarks as if they're standing today. And you clearly know they're not there right now. But he starts giving you directions.
Oh. I just said, oh boy.
Oh, yes. And he says, so after you pass that, you'll come over the hill and you'll see a cave. Now, steer clear of that one. It's probably been claimed by a bandit. My informant who was scouting the area said they marked it outside with three skulls on a pike. So give it a safe distance and get to the far side of the next hill, due east. And there should be a waystone with this mark. And he shows you like a little symbol. He says, the mark of Luida, goddess of wonder. Anyway, my informant said that there was a pile of boulders. I'm not sure exactly how you'll get in, but you're a resourceful group. Probably just move some off the top or something. But anyway, that should be all you need. Any questions?
Sounds good to me.
Sounds good.
Sounds pretty straightforward.
All right. So go ahead and you kind of set off into these hills. There's still a bit of a gloom. It's still early enough in the morning. There's fog. Pretty sparsely, just mostly grass, not a lot of trees. Go ahead and give me a little bit of, some banter. Talk about what these characters would talk about and talk about how the group is traveling as you're marching through these hills. You probably got like a half day's travel or something to get to the spot.
Birch will take point as he's used to scouting ahead and kind of keeping tabs on what's going on in the area, being somewhat a little familiar just from being around for the last little bit, really good at taking lay of the land, so to speak. So you said it's just a light haze or not necessarily, so you're saying gloomy, but.
Yeah, it's gloomy. It's foggy, really heavy moisture in the air.
All right. So were you familiar with a lot of other, potential issues in the area besides these bandits once we actually get closer to the barrows?
Oh, once you get inside an ancient crypt, you can find all sorts of things. But the bandits are the biggest problem. Sometimes you'll come across a dire wolf or something like that.
All right. So Birch is just keeping a good weather eye out for what's going on, using all his senses that as a scout traveling through and just not getting too far ahead of the group. Just make sure he stays in, about 10, 12 feet in front of him, but still moving. Keep up, guys. Keep up.
Squeakers is actively walking on her toes. And she's like, yeah, I don't know if this whole be on your toes thing is helping. It's really giving me some calf cramps.
Squeakers, that's for the last time. It's a figure of speech. It just means be prepared and be ready. That's all.
Well, why don't you just say be prepared and be ready?
You're right. I should try to do that more.
Thank you. You make things a lot simpler. And she like goes back to being flat-footed and it's like, oh, my calves. Oh, they hurt. Oh.
Finky is pointing out all the places that he's camped and memories from when he was a kid. Some sort of, you know, tall tales. Yeah, over there is where my family, we got attacked by a dire bear. My dad fought it off. My mom, you know, lulled it to sleep. My dad took care of it, fed our family for, I don't know, probably a month. It was a big sucker, and we're halflings, so we don't eat that much, but that's quite nice. And, oh, yeah, over there, we got attacked by a dire wolf, and kind of the same story. Ma put it to sleep, and Pa slayed it. I think he made a coat out of it. Several coats, in fact. Yeah.
Oh, that's impressive.
I'm mostly just complaining about having to walk. I'm used to ships. I hate this over the land travel. If it wasn't misty out and at least a little damp, I'd be pissed.
Remy just keeps the tail end of everything, you know, watching everyone's back and trailing behind to make sure Squeakers no one gets left behind.
Running back and forth between, like, she's walking really slowly, then walking fast, walking slowly, walking fast. Oh, yeah. And constantly chugging from her flask that is filled with coffee.
Carmi makes sure she doesn't get left behind and stays and waits until she's ready to catch back up.
Yeah, I got you. No problem.
See here, Birch, I think you said you were in the lead. So you come over these hills, and it's a little lower visibility than you'd like, even as the day gets on and the sun's moving overhead. It's filtering through the cloudy fog, and you can just make out the cave that was described and glinting of what little light is peeking through. You can see three skulls on the pike, and you kind of lead the group a little bit around, and you know that you're coming up on the next hill and coming around to the backside of the next hill where you've been told you'll see the waystone and the entrance, the pile of boulders or whatever that's supposed to mark the entrance to this lost shrine. How do you do this approach?
Once I realize it's kind of getting a little gloomier than I would like, I'm not as far ahead. I'm just right in front of our group. Point out the three skulls. So we work our way around and just cautiously come around the bend, whisper to all of them what I'm seeing. And this is the cave that we want to get up to.
Yeah, you get around the corner and let them know that you're getting close. And as you kind of peek around the corner, not being overly stealthy, but also not, you know, just coming up at a sprint, you can kind of see through the gloom a large pile of boulders where something has caved in some time ago, and you can also see kind of a shadow of a figure kind of standing. It's a little hard to tell from where you're at. It's slightly obscured, but you can kind of see a shadow of a figure as you get within sight of this.
I motion over to Mac and Suri, give him a heads up that there's a figure there, and then make sure I tell Squeakers just to hush so she's not as high pitch right now. There seems to be a figure just up ahead. Can barely make it out of the mist just in front of the cave we're looking to go to.
Mac peers over, does that squinting things with his eyes. It's like, yeah, I reckon there is. What do you say? Should we hail him, or should we sneak around and try and figure out what their deal is?
I'm going to try and use my keen senses to roll a perception check.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead and give us a roll here. So you're trying to peer through the fog a little bit and see if you can get a better look at what you're dealing with?
Yep.
All right, great. Go ahead and roll that.
Okay. And so what does a 14 get me?
14 gets you that this is definitely a humanoid figure that's kind of at the bottom of the boulders, and you can just make out a second shadow up on top of the pile, and you can hear some muffled conversation passing between the two of them. They're not shouting at each other because they're not that far away.
Mm-hmm. Well, we might have to approach this a little more carefully. I can see two of them, and it seems like they're talking.
Birch goes to investigate if I can make out what they're saying. And
okay, yeah, go ahead and roll me a stealth if you'd like to approach unnoticed.
I'm not trying to approach too much closer. I'm just trying to see if I can listen in and hear it being an elf, a little bit keen senses. So I don't know if you wanted perception or investigation.
Okay. You know, I think it's probably simple enough that I'll just give you a little bit of the conversation. You just kind of hear the one at the bottom say, well, it shouldn't take that long, should it? There's got to be something. No, I'm not coming up to help. You can take care of it.
So I pass that information on, and sounds like they're trying to get inside. One's staying at the bottom. One seems to be stuck trying to move rocks. It can't seem to get them moved.
Should we offer to help these guys, or you think that might be showing our hand too early?
Well, I mean, we're getting paid one way or the other to clear it out. Either we get two additional people to help us that don't necessarily know about the pay or just, you know, not sure. These two might be better than the bandits.
That's true. My only worry is that they fear that we are going to come in and maybe deprive them of some of the treasures that they are anticipating. Most people don't take too kindly to that.
Yeah, something tells me that the scholar isn't going to be too happy if a lot of the treasures disappear either, though.
Yeah, I mean, that wasn't really part of the bargain on his side, so I don't feel that bad about, well, things get up and walk away while we clear things out.
I guess as long as the books and information stay intact, I should probably be okay.
Yep, and I've got no problems with removing a couple of minor inconveniences, if you catch my meaning.
Good with both.
So why don't you persuade him there, sir?
All right, well, we'll see. So I start making my way over to the people.
Mm-hmm.
Birch stays near him.
Okay. What about the rest of the party?
Yeah, I think I sort of followed, not trying to trail and not trying to flank, just sort of looking like we're at least the three of us are in a party. I don't know if the rest of us will.
Kermy, Squeakers.
Squeakers is going to be in the back watching these guys figuring out what they're doing.
All right.
But following along just a little slower pace.
Kermy is going to stick by Squeakers, just kind of make sure that nothing happens. He's just watching everything going on. Figures he's better off in the back rather than crowding up and making too much fuss.
All right. The group kind of starts to move forward with a couple hanging back a little bit, and doesn't take very long. You start approaching, and the one that's at the bottom of the rocks kind of seems to see you and says, all of a sudden calls out, "Right then, clear off. This here's our cave."
I'm going to respond with, "Cave? What cave? All I see is just a big pile of boulders."
"All right, then you can just clear off. This is our pile of boulders."
"Hey, we don't know anything about any boulders. I don't know why this is so important to you."
We lay claim to it, all right? So you can just go find yourself your own hideout or something."
"Well, now, I know ownership is 9/10 of the law, but I think that you guys look like you're kind of struggling with these rocks. And I mean, I've struggled with rocks before. Don't get me wrong. I played rock, paper, scissors down at the bar, but you guys are having a real hard time. Perhaps we could find ourselves a mutually beneficial arrangement here."
"Mm-hmm.
And it's not like we can clear off, because I personally, kind of new to this area, don't really know the place. I wouldn't even know where to begin to go."
"Well, that's your problem then."
"Hmm. Well, I wouldn't want to make too much noise. We might rouse the attention of that bandit camp just over yonder."
"Oh, right. Sure. Oh, listen, you trying to find a crew to run with?"
I think we're pretty good on our own crew. In fact, don't tell no one, but you're not the only people who know about this place, and let's just say our boss would not be too happy if he knew that other people were here poking their noses around. We're supposed to sort of prep the way for him, so to speak, and looks like we might be able to get in, poke around, but I don't know. What do you guys think? Should we should we help these guys?
If you want to clear some rocks, that's all right. But if you want to get in and poke around our cave, then you got something else you need to think about."
"Well, the bigger problem is it's not your cave."
"Yeah.
Oh, we laid claim to it."
"Unfortunately, someone else laid claim to it well before you did."
"Oh, gosh. I don't see them here."
"Now, do you know the nature of this cave that you're trying to breach at the moment?"
"Sure do. It's gone."
"Well, do you know which goddess this cave is ancient temple to?"
"Oh, goddess, ancient temple. All these darn caves got some god or goddess or I don't really care."
"Hmm. Well, seems like the guy who hired us knows quite a bit more than you. To me, that might indicate that he might have a more rightful claim. Knowledge is power, and power is how the world flows, in my experience."
"What my halfling friend is trying to say is our employer, as it were, has got a pretty good idea of how valuable the things really are. And so, sure, you could take it to some local pawnbroker, probably find a cup, you get maybe, 25 coppers from it, or you can come hang out with us for a little bit and find out that cup is actually worth 250 gold. and legit.
You're trying to steal our treasure, aren't you?
No, actually, we're trying to ensure that our employer is still happy when this is all done.
Mm-hmm. If your boss is mad, sounds like your problem.
No, it's going to be yours.
Go ahead and at this point, roll me an intimidation check based on kind of... There's been some offers of help, but I'm going to say that the overall undertone with references to a boss and such, it's going to lean a little more towards intimidation. And you can roll that at advantage.
Love it.
That's a natural 20. I rolled once, and that was a nat 20.
Oh, beautiful.
So I got a 17 on that one.
Nice. So from up on top of the boulders, you hear a voice says, you know, Darren, I think maybe we should just kind of let them have this one. There's a bunch of caves around here. What do you know? Oh, come on. Maybe we can just go see if there's one around the next hill or something. And they kind of bicker for a minute. And the one up top kind of ends up sliding down the boulders while they're bickering. And they just kind of start walking off and just keep bickering as they walk. And you are standing in front of a pile of boulders. What would you like to do?
Well, you know, I mean, they could have been handy. The whole thing of, you know, two have to stay behind. Those could have been our two that we left behind.
So something tells me they wouldn't be too keen on hanging back and watching our backs.
Oh, no. And I think we might need to move quickly. They might be coming to get reinforcements.
Yeah. Who knows when they might grow some stones and try and come back and check on us.
Grow stones? What?
So to speak. And Finky begins pulling out some stones.
Wait till you're older, kid.
Birch starts helping him.
Squeakers will go climb to the top of the pile and start like trying to shove boulders off the top of the pile.
Okay. What about, we got a couple more here. Kermy and I think who else hasn't said what they're doing yet? Mac, maybe?
Mac, I think, is grabbing him off the bottom of the pile.
Yeah, Sorry. Mac is rolling him out as best he can, sort of, you know, wedging in where he can. And yeah.
Okay.
Kermy, what you doing?
What would Kermy be good for at this point? He's just hanging back, waiting for someone to give him something to do.
Supervisor.
Start help moving rocks.
Yes, clear rocks.
Oh, you want me to help out with those rocks? I can do that.
That'd be nice.
So
right
he starts
now.
Moving rocks. Yeah. He's a little on the dim side.
You got a pretty good crew going here now, and you've got Squeakers up top, kind of looking at the top area where the person was moving things before. As you start moving things, you pull a couple off the bottom and things shift a little bit and you work together and work it out. And after it's, you know, it doesn't take that long, maybe like a half hour to an hour before you've got a little bit of a hole kind of up at the top that looks like maybe you could get down in there. You haven't cleared out the whole path necessarily, but it looks like you've got a bit of an entrance up top now.
You guys think that we might be needing a speedy exit, or you think we can sort of seal the way behind us, make it still kind of difficult for anyone who might want to follow?
I think if we leave it open at the top like that, it's going to be a little less likely they're going to find it right away. While it doesn't give us the most expeditious retreat out of there, it still gives us a bit extra cover.
Yeah, that's where I'm leaning personally.
And they might just assume that we gave up and walked on.
Bingo.
So we don't need to keep moving boulders? And as like Squeaker says this, like, she looks like she's holding a boulder, but then you realize it's moving and she's not moving with it. She's like, what? Catches up with the boulder. So we need to stop moving them?
Yeah, I think
we're good.
Cease and
okay.
Climb on in.
Stop moving boulders, as she says to her unseen servant.
Nice.
Helping her move boulders.
At first, I thought it was just the mushrooms I ate earlier.
Mushrooms? Yeah, you just need donuts. No mushrooms. No mushrooms.
Donuts.
You get to the top and you can kind of all see this little bit of a crawlway in. Looks like it's big enough for everyone to get through. How do you want to do this?
As a dark elf, I think it would be a pretty good idea for me to go in first, since this is basically my territory. And I'll let you guys know if the way is clear.
All right.
Sounds good.
Okay.
All right.
I'll take my rope, give it to him so he has a, we can pull him up quickly if he needs to.
Nice. So you get in and survey what you can see after you kind of get in on the other side of the pile, and you see that it's actually not too bad. It's a tunnel, but you look at it and realize it's more of a hallway, really, with carved stone, a long, straight hallway.
All right, guys, way's clear. Keep in mind, this place looks man-made.
All right. All right.
Mac climbs down the rope.
I motion for Squeakers and Kermie to go down, and I'll drop down last.
Ooh, I'm tippy-doo.
Kermie goes on down.
So you get down into this hallway, and you all see it's about 10 feet wide, carved stone throughout, very dark for the folks that don't have dark vision or something like that. What are you using at the moment? Are you lighting something up or just holding hands in the dark?
I think you will light up a torch, pull one out, strike a match or whatever the adventuring equivalent is, and hold it up. I say, I hope you all don't mind. I don't really have any magic way to light this way.
I do, but you pulled out a torch, so I don't want to waste the torch now.
It's like, oh yeah, you are magical. I'll tell you what, I'll just set this. Are there any sconces on the wall or anything?
Yeah, there sure are, actually.
Finky will set it in a sconce and say, tell you what, I'll follow you. And this way we know, if we see the torch, it's back at the entrance and we can make our way there in case we are, ever lost.
You said it's a nice long hallway or straight hallway once we first get down here?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Are there sconces further down the hallway as well?
Let's
take the torch and move it down a little bit. We'll know once we get to the torch we're definitely on the right pathway, but I don't want to leave it too close to the entrance in case it casts light outside, especially if it starts to get dark. I don't want it being a glowing beacon to others.
That's fair. Maybe about halfway to whatever branch we see next.
That'll work.
Call it plan.
You continue down the hallway. You've got your torch. You're keeping an eye for branches or anything like that. And you come across something you probably didn't quite expect. It's a pit trap, but it's already open. It's not like a fake floor or anything. There's just a big hole in the ground. And as you look at it, you realize it's probably about 30 feet deep and 10 feet across. Looks like maybe some spikes at the bottom.
Are there?
Birch looks down.
Same.
Is there anyone in the bottom?
Yeah.
There's some bones down there.
How old do they look from where we're at?
They don't look like they don't have like flesh, dripping off of them or anything like that.
All right. So some time old. I kind of look to Surin and say quite a few years old, huh?
Yep. These poor bastards have been here a while.
Does it look like we can get across or are we going to have to jump it?
You take a look and the gap extends all the way to the wall on either side. There's not like a ledge. You look around for a minute. Everyone kind of is taking some eyes on the area and you don't see like jumping poles just sitting there or anything obvious like that.
Squeakers cast dancing lights and they look rather like rustic, really homemade donuts. But they're like lights. And so she's got those kind of floating around here and she's like using them to go up the walls to see if there's anything and examine the ground and go over the pit because, they can move like within 60 feet of her. And so she's just got these floating donuts that are casting light all over the place. So.
As you do that and look around, go ahead and roll me an investigation check to go with that.
All right. That is a 15.
15. You give this area another really good look over. You're now at this point, you're looking for secret switches or something that might extend a bridge. You send some lights down into the pit to investigate. There's not like a lever or anything down there. It's a pit. It's a 10-foot gap.
I guess you had to really like this goddess if you wanted to come worship her.
Guess so.
So you've been in this area. Do you happen to know anything about this goddess at all? Heard anything? Local stories?
I don't think I have. I think Mage would my character know anything if he lived here for a little while?
Go ahead and roll a history check. We'll find out.
Oh, history. What is that? Ah, cool. I got a minus one in history. That's the barbarian in me. Mm-hmm. And I've been rolling real bad. Oh, hey, 15 minus one, so 14.
Oh, that's not too bad. Yeah, when you went camping, there were always ghost stories about all these different shrines and how they were full of ghosts. And there were always local legends about the crypt of an old king or the tomb of a local lord or something like that. And you don't really remember necessarily particularly the goddess Luida in any of these stories, but I mean the area is just full of, it's probably why that scholar loves the area so much, is because it's just full of all these stories about, you know, ancient kings and stuff, and now it's just kind of a sleepy little town.
Yeah, I mean, most of the Barrows is just a chocky jam full of, you know, dead kings and temples to gods, but can't say that I've heard of this particular goddess. It looks like we may have to just jump it. What do y'all say?
Works for me.
I've got no problems jumping it.
I'm not much of a jumper, though.
I could toss you.
So with a strength score of 10, you can jump 10 feet across with a running start.
Yeah. I've got a 15 strength and a 16 dex. I'm good.
Yep. Yeah, 14 strength, so I think I can manage it.
Right?
Yeah, well, if anyone needs a good push, I can totally get you across.
But you're going to jump too, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'll do that.
All right. Who's jumping first?
I will.
All right. Siren, you go ahead and you kind of get a little space, you know, tunnel. You've been walking through the tunnel for I don't know, a couple minutes or something. So you got a good space for a running start. And you go ahead and run and give it a good leap and make it across.
Squeakers has spread out the light so there's like an arc of donuts going over the pit so you can see the other side safely land.
Very nice.
Finky will follow.
Okay. Same thing. You're able to, seems like you're able to get across. Not too big of a problem.
Kermie jumps.
Hey. All right.
Hey, I guess it's my turn. Okay. All right. Hey, I go way back and just start running and running and I jump.
You make it across. Little worried. Probably the closest call yet, but yeah, you're able to make it across. We have one more here.
Birch is going.
Birch gives it a good run, takes one last look back, and comes flying across. You're the one holding the torch, right?
No.
Oh, who was that?
That was Mac.
Okay. Birch takes one last look back at the dark tunnel behind him and gives a good running jump and joins the party on the other side. As you look down the hallway, and it looks like there's something on up here. Is maybe there's a branch or something. You might have some doors or something on up there. You're probably still, looks like, you know, 60 or so feet away. Who's kind of in the lead now at this point?
I'm going to say I am, but I'm going to pause a minute. Squeakers, you're the magic one, right?
Yeah.
You got any anything in the ways of illusion?
What did you have in mind in particular?
Well, you know, just in case we're tailed, you could cover up the hole.
Oh. Sissy, most of those would require me to, like, maintain concentration and, like, stay right here. And I don't really think you just want me staying here. See? I mean, I could do that. I could do that. I turn and snap my fingers and cast Minor Illusion, and there is just like a small stone floating in midair about halfway through the pit that is, it's like a 5-foot cube.
Nice.
That's just sitting right in the middle of the pit.
A fake stepping stone. I like it.
Very nice.
That'll buy us some time.
So how does the party want to proceed down the rest of the hallway here?
The two elves should probably go up ahead.
I agree. We'll lead point, keeping the light behind us so we can scan out for anything that detect it beforehand.
Yeah, Squeakers will have the donuts be floating behind them. Since it does 10-foot light, then she'll make sure that they're at least
10 feet behind the lead people so that they're in the dark.
So give me the spacing here. We've got a couple elves in the front, and then is everyone just behind that, or we've got some distance? How's that?
Yeah, maybe 10 foot behind them. And I think at this point, Finky would say, should we be going weapons out here, or you still think maybe just keep our eyes open?
I say just keep our eyes open.
Couldn't hurt.
Best to keep your hands free for the time being.
All right. I just got an itchy trigger finger.
Squeakers stands on her toes and starts walking tiptoe.
On the toes. Go ahead, and the pair that's out front, please give me a perception check.
That would be a dank 20.
Diggity, diggity, dank.
I got a 19 out of that.
Oh, wow. All right. So you are definitely keeping your eyes up. You get just a little bit across the pit and step 10 feet out in front of everybody. Everyone else kind of takes a couple steps away from the pit. And as you're looking at the door that you now see at the end of the hallway, you realize that something's not quite right about the air between you and the doorway. Somewhere about 10 feet ahead of you, there's something, the air looks like it's glistening. And you look down and you see, and it looks like a small, like, rat or ferret kind of creature. You see the skeleton of it on the ground, and you look at it and you realize that it's got a shadow completely under it, as though it is just a few inches off the ground, just sitting there not moving. What would you like to do?
Birch takes a closer look at it. Is it, you said it's a full skeleton of like a ferret or large rat, mm-hmm. or something like that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's probably like 10, 15 feet away from you. Do you want to get closer to it, or just trying to see what you can tell from here?
Trying to see what I can tell. Like, how far does the shadow go?
It's just that the shadow you can tell is like of the complete thing, meaning that it's like floating a couple inches off the ground instead of resting on the ground. And the air in the whole area, the whole hallway, starting about 10 feet out from you, just kind of has this strange effect to it.
I look to Sir and say, don't move a second, and just tell everyone to hold up. I want to try something. I draw my bow, take out an arrow. I look for the door itself. Is it made out of wood?
It is an older door. Looks like stone.
Is there any wood or anything on the other side, or everything is just straight stone?
Yeah, it's pretty much stone. There's like the sconces kind of off to the side that are like metal brackets you might could catch an arrow into if that's what you're trying to do.
I'm just trying to figure out something to shoot at. Yeah, I take and knock an arrow, draw back. I shoot an arrow at the door. I want to see what happens when the arrow, I'm focusing on the arrow as it crosses into, like, I don't draw all the way back. It's more of like a light shot. I want to kind of lob it into that area. I want to see what happens as the arrow passes through that glistening spot.
Yeah, go ahead and make an attack roll, please.
That would be a dank 20.
All right. Go ahead and roll damage.
Those okie dokies, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, those okie dokies. All right. That's going to be 11 piercing.
All right. 11 piercing damage. And then I need everyone to roll initiative.
Oh, cool.
Because you see the arrow stop in midair and the whole space around it kind of jiggles a little bit as you see things shift, and you see a semi-transparent, almost like a wall, start to inch towards you.
Jiggle, jiggle.
Classic dungeon monster.
Love it, love it.
Are we gonna die?
We probably won't die, but well, some of us may die, but probably not all of us. I mean, what are the odds that all of us die? Let's be real here.
Depends on the DM.
Yeah.
The other nice thing is we're only so far away from that giant pit.
True.
Let's hope that, see if we can draw this thing to us and get back across that if need be. And I got a 19 for initiative.
Okay. And Mac?
The 14.
Okay. And Kermy?
15.
And then we're going to Saran?
14.
And then Squeakers?
11.
Okay. All right. Birch, you're up.
All right. So I take another shot. That is a 15.
That'll hit.
That's going to be 7 piercing.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Another arrow sticks into the air here. You see the waver. What else would you like to do?
I'm going to slowly back up a little bit and kind of motion to the others to try not to get too close.
About how far back do you want to go?
10 feet back, so I'm right in front of the group.
All right. Kermie, what you got?
Kermie is probably going to stay backed up, but decides to pull out his longbow and takes aim and aims for the face.
All right. Go ahead and make the attack roll.
5.
Kermie, I guess, wasn't quite sure whether to run up and stab or get the bow out. And in the process, the bow kind of just fired off a little bit before it got raised up full height and skids across the ground before resting in front of the space. Anything else on your turn?
Well, shit.
You are currently... Okay. For reference, I'm placing you about 25, 30 feet away from it.
Fair deal.
Okay. Mac.
Mac's gonna say, well, wish I had drawn this a little earlier and pull out his great sword. And then how far away is it from us? About 20 feet, you said?
No, I've got you a little further back. Okay. Yeah, I had you a little bit more in the back, so I think 25, I guess, so it's still not super far.
Yeah, I think Mac would just sort of, rather than attack, I think he's going to get more on the front line and say, I can bust tail if needed, but otherwise I think being within striking range might be the best option for me, and he'll wait there to attack.
Okay, you're going to stay about 25 feet away, you say?
Yeah.
Okay, all right, so you've got Birch is kind of like right next to you, and then Kermie's kind of right there a little bit behind you, I guess. So then next up we've got Saran, and then Squeakers will be after that.
All right, well, I'm in full compliance with the current plan to back up a bit. So I'm going to back up to about the same location as Birch, and then I am going to pull out my heavy crossbow, and I'm going to put a bolt in this jiggle.
Put a bolt in it. Make that attack roll.
Putting a bolt. That is going to be... Does a 17 hit?
Yes, it does.
I bet it does. And that is going to be... Oh, I like this. That is going to be 8 points.
Okay.
And then I'm going to use... I'm going to finish off my action by reloading it.
Okay. And let's see. You already used some movement, so you're good. If nothing else, then we're up to Squeakers. You're kind of in the furthest back, I would say, 25, 30 feet away, that kind of range.
Hey, well, I will fire bolt.
Make that attack roll.
15.
15 hits. Roll damage.
Yeah. I see here. That's 5.
Okay. Anything else on your turn?
I will move. I will move the dancing lights so that we've got one that is, we'll say within 5 feet of the mm-hmm. glistening, so that there's enough light for it to mm-hmm. actually be lit up. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to space them out, going back towards the pit, and do have one be actually like over the pit, and then have one be at the point where we need to start running in order to make the jump.
Okay.
And then another in between those.
Okay.
So that all helps right. give everybody that distance of space, and then following everyone else's lead, I will move backwards a little bit.
Okay. So you space out the lights. You've blasted this thing. About everybody else has shot it with something, and it's like a wall. It's starting to turn a little bit more opaque, but it's still pretty translucent. This gelatinous wall, basically, and you realize that it's about 10 feet deep also down the hallway. It's this big old cube, and it starts just inching its way forward, 5, 10, 15 feet, and it's now it's not quite in melee range. It's about one grid space away from melee range from the front line here, but it's just kind of slowly moving towards you. And we're back to the top of the order with Birch.
All right, gonna take another shot. That's gonna be a 16 to hit.
Yeah, that hits.
And that's going to be 11 points of piercing damage.
Okay. What else would you like to do? And then Kermie's up next.
I am going to move again back to about 20 feet away, making sure that I'm not in the pit.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Kermie.
Moving backwards. Going to try the longbow again.
Sure. Go ahead and roll that attack roll.
19.
Yep. Let's roll some damage.
Sweet. oh, gosh. It's rolled a 2 and then plus 2. So 4.
Alrighty. Yeah. You can see this arrow actually got a little further than the others. Each one has gotten a little further in, and this one actually blows out the back, and a chunk of goo kind of flies with it. Looks like you are, this thing doesn't have blood, but it looks like you're starting to put a hurting on it as a group. Kermie, did you want to move?
Kermie's going to just stay back towards the edge of the pit and prevent anyone from falling directly into the pit.
How far back did you want to be?
Like right up close, like maybe within a foot of the edge of the pit.
Got it. And Mac, you are up.
All right. I think Mac has seen it hit a few times. So he moves up 10 feet and he's going to strike out with his greatsword.
Yeah, roll attack.
Cool. That is a 3 plus 6 for a 9. Again, to be honest.
That's a 9, but it's also a large wall of goo, so you hit it.
True. Oh, that's right. Yeah, so he strikes out with his greatsword and says, yeah, I've seen these before. I know how to take care of these. And that's 8 damage.
Okay, 8 damage. And then you've got, you said, 15 feet of movement left.
Yeah, I think I'll use that 15 feet of movement just to take a little back, try and get some range.
Okay, you've got some party members who are 15 feet back, so you can move 10 feet back, I think, is about as far as you can get.
That sounds good, then. Unless any of them are a size bigger than me. I don't think that any of you guys are that.
You're a halfling, right?
You're a halfling, so you can be in the same space as at least the elves and the humans.
I don't think.
Oh yeah, because I'm small.
Think you can end in the same. Yeah, I don't think you can end in the same space. Unfortunately, you can pass through.
Yeah. So that's why you could actually be just beyond me.
Well, I think if you're 15 feet, then I can't get quite there. So I can only go 10. So I'll go 10. That's fine.
Okay. All right. Next up, we have Saran.
Okay. So I'm gonna back up to the jump point for the pit, and then I'm gonna take my crossbow and I'm going to take another shot.
Okay, so you're 10 feet from the pit now and make that attack roll.
Okay. That is going to be a dank 20.
Oh, rolling a lot of those. Roll damage.
Okay. D10. And that is going to be another 9 points.
Okay. Another chunk comes flying out the backside. Gelatinous exit wound as we go to Squeakers. What do you got?
I am going to use Toll the Dead.
Oh, God, I love that spell. I need to make a wisdom save. Is that right?
Yes, please.
That's a fail. Go ahead and roll that sweet, sweet D12.
Oh, that's a 12.
Yes! The eerie, dissonant sound. Well, actually, you tell me what kind of spells this seem like to everyone else that's around that hears it.
It sounds like a dinner bell.
Oh no.
Come get your donuts in the great beyond.
Just like you hear out on the farm.
The ringing sounds through the hall, and the cube shudders. Did you want to use any movement?
So can I do a running jump?
Yep, you sure can.
All right, then that's what I'm going to do.
All right, Squeakers is like, I think we're about there, folks, and takes off and hops back across the pit, feels a little bit safer over there as the queue is leaving some chunks behind, but it continues its slow march forward. 5, 10, 15 as it gets to Mac, who didn't quite have a moment to a space to get past his party in time. And as Squeakers vacates a spot, Mac looks and says, oh, hey, I could probably move there, as this cold and yet tingly burning jelly engulfs him. So at this point, I need you to make a dexterity saving throw as it enters your space.
Okay. Now, can I see this?
Yeah, you can see it, like the air is kind of shimmering, and especially as chunks have been torn out, the lights, it's kind of consumed some of the dancing lights as it's gone on, but there's enough light that you can kind of see the way the shadows play with the missing chunks and some scraps of bone that are inside. And so you can kind of see it over your shoulder coming towards you right before you can move into Squeaker space. And it starts to engulf you. Go ahead and roll that dex save.
All right.
Can I use your reaction to help pull him?
Well, I think I get advantage on this anyway for danger sense, because it's a dex save throw.
Oh, yeah, because it's an effect that you can see. So yes, absolutely.
All right. Well, I rolled with advantage and got the exact same thing. Rolled 12 for 14.
All right, 14's enough as you see the space that Squeaker's just moved out of, and you feel the jelly start to itch and scratch with its acidic pull, and you kind of bounce off of it into that space, avoiding being completely engulfed.
As he does, he says out loud, "Wait, what if we filled the donuts with jelly?" The dinner bell plus this experience has just inspired him.
Ooh, I like that idea.
Congratulations, you've avoided making out with a booger.
Spicy jelly donuts.
There we go.
I think that's a thing.
I shudder.
The gelatinous cube finishes taking up the space where Mac just was and doesn't seem to be getting much further at the moment as we go back to the top of the order with Birch.
All right. So Birch does, I have the distance to clear the gap, right?
That's correct.
All right. So I'm going to run, jump over the gap, and then I'm going to shoot from back there because I do better at range anyways.
As you leave, a weird arm of jelly reaches out and swipes at you as it takes an attack of opportunity with its pseudopod for a 19 to hit.
That hits.
And you're going to take 6 acid damage as you sprint away and hop across the gap to safety.
Okay.
You said you wanted to shoot, so you can make that attack roll then.
And that is a natural 20. Nice. Birch is not happy about taking that shot. So
leaps across the gap, squares up, and tell us how you want to do this.
Okay, so that is going to be 17 points of piercing damage. So Birch just draws back to the maximum of his bow, just holds, takes a solid aim, and just releases, just trying to imbue all of his anger into this shot.
It blows right through the chunks of cube, splatter behind it as the arrow exits, sails all the way to the door at the end of the hall, and the rest of the cube collapses and just starts to evaporate or just run out in a liquid, and we are out of combat.
Excellent. I was a little worried there.
I was kind of hoping we would handle this before the pit did.
Yeah, the pit was a good backup plan, though. That was
literally
backup.
We got a nice spicy jelly donut idea out of it. So
save some of that for your donuts.
I don't think that this is the particular jelly that we want to be serving to people.
No.
Edible?
No.
Spicy jelly donuts.
Well, technically it's edible. Might only be edible once.
No, that's a health code violation.
You mean it's eatable? Edible implies it won't kill me.
Wait a minute. Wait, I just had an idea. Guys, what if we can make coffee into a jelly that we can put inside the donuts?
You can, actually. I have a recipe.
Recipe? Yes, you must share this with me. Please.
Let's talk about recipes right now.
Again, yes, I want to get paid.
Yeah, we need the money before we can set our eyes on the sky.
Yeah, yes. Dungeon now, coffee jelly later.
Bingo.
Yeah, though. And she will back up and jump back over.
Birch follows.
Nice. The groups reunite on the other side, and you cautiously make your way down the hallway and look at the sconces, and you get to the inn, and there's no more. You're keeping eyes quite peeled. Squeakers is still on tippy toes, and you see that the end of the hallway, you've got a very large stone door at the end of the hallway, and then to the left and the right, you've got a couple smaller doors. They're kind of in alcoves that are a little bit cut out from the hallway. What would the party like to do?
first, Birch wanted to grab whatever arrows he could that were still intact and not all completely jacked up from this thing.
No problem. You've got some ammunition to spare at the moment.
Does the jelly that was laying around, is that still there, like still kind of acidic?
There's probably a little bit. If you had a vial or something and wanted to scoop some up, you could probably do that.
Yes. I want to grab just one little vial of it.
Nice.
I think he says, well, I'm glad we cleared out this oozy thing. And note to self, we might want to maybe establish some sort of ladder or bridge for that gap back there. That wizard was a little bit old. Don't know that he can make that sort of jump in his looming senility.
He have the magic?
I'd say we let him know about it and he can figure out how to get across on his own once we get this place cleared.
That's fair. Him. That's fair.
Wouldn't be the first time I've thrown an old man.
That's not nice.
Hey, he was asking for it.
Yeah, as I recall, wasn't that a few jobs back?
Yeah, our first meeting. He wouldn't pay me.
Yeah.
So I threw him out the window.
You've got three doors here. What are you thinking?
Squeakers has a light on each door and is just staring at them and inspecting them.
Yeah, you give them a good look over with the lights and everything, and they're pretty mundane as far as you can tell. Look like some old doors you might find in a shrine or ruin or something like that.
Yeah, this isn't exactly Mac's strong suit. He reads left to right, so his gut says left, but he's also aware that may not be the best matrix off of which to base your judgments.
Squeakers, you remember seeing anything in on all those papers that he showed us with the maps and whatnot of anything that would recall for this?
Do I remember anything?
You probably don't have. There probably wasn't anything. All right, let me rephrase that. You didn't see a map of the shrine itself or any expected floor plan of a shrine.
Hmm.
You would probably know just historically that, you know, it's typical for shrines to have side hallways for, you know, staff to kind of get around the main crowd that's exiting or for greeting people or going off to, you know, side rooms, things like that. That's not too unusual. Just in general, how shrines are built.
Well, he didn't have a map that showed this in particular shrine, but in all probability, the side ones are just side hallways for the staff. She uses like quotation marks with her fingers when she says staff, to get around the main people in the main hallway, or they're just side rooms or other little things like that. So the main attraction's probably straight. Maybe. Possibly. Probably. Maybe.
Sounds logical.
Yeah.
Sounds good enough for me. And I say that as I'm going to start opening the middle door.
You open the middle door. And you find a large square room on the other side. Well, not quite square, I guess. Mostly square. Maybe a little rectangular. But in any case, it's probably, you know, like 30 feet across or something. You see in the middle of it an old stone altar kind of feature that is crumbling. In the back left and right corners, you see two more small doors, kind of like the ones in the hallway before. And straight across the room from where you've come in at, you see two very large stone doors, double doors.
Okay. So I relay that information to the rest of the party, and I'm not saying I know anything about this religion because I don't, but I'm going to do a religion check on at least to get some idea of what that altar in the middle might have been used for.
Okay. Go ahead and roll that.
That is going to be a 13.
You're not too familiar with Luida as a deity. You recall that the scholar was very keen to let you know that it was the goddess of wonder. But in general, whenever you visit a shrine like this, there's probably some kind of altar or dais where they may have, you may have a priest or someone that's, you know, giving a talk or performing some kind of rites or something like that. Just kind of a focal point for any sort of service or for visitors come to pray or something like that.
So I can say with confidence, guys, that this is a church.
Yeah, I think we knew that coming in here.
Is it safe?
At this point, it seems kind of safe, so the party kind of shuffles in. What does each person want to do? Let's just go around, and we'll start with Squeakers.
I'm going to edge my way in around him, sticking close to the wall, and bring in all the lights to light up the room.
Okay. And then, Saran, what are you going to do? What's kind of your first thing that you want to look at when you get in here?
I kind of want to get away from that altar.
Okay.
I don't exactly have a clean conscience, and I don't want anything to happen to me. But I will be investigating those doors.
Okay. So you're heading over to the doors. Kermit, what are you doing?
Anyone need some help? Can I help anyone?
I'm just sitting here checking out the room. I mean, this big old room. I guess you can help me look around and make sure there's no trap.
Yeah, I can do that.
That sounds good. So the two of you will be looking for traps. Birch, what are you up to?
Birch is going to enter the room and start working his way the opposite way around than when Sauron did. Just kind of doing the same thing, scanning the walls and working my way around towards the other large double doors.
Okay, so we got Sauron and Birch going towards the doors, Kermie and Squeakers checking for traps, and Mac, what are you up to?
I think Mac is most interested in the altar, so he's gonna make his way up there. He's not particularly skilled in, you know, religion or anything, but that seems to be enough of a central figure. He's a simple man. That seems to be the focal point, so he's gonna go check that out.
All right. So we're gonna start with Kermie and Squeakers. As you're checking for traps, go ahead and each of you can give me, or I guess we can do it two ways. You can both roll like a perception or an investigation, or we can say that since Kermie is using the help action, Squeakers can roll at advantage. However, the two of you would prefer to do it.
Kermie, how do you want us to roll? You pick.
Investigation would work better for Kermie.
Okay. I got a 17 plus 4, so 21.
Nice.
16 for Kermie.
Okay, great. Those are good. The two of you kind of start looking over the room. You've got the lights checking every little corner, and you're feeling pretty safe by the time you're done checking it over and start making your way over to the double doors where we've got a couple folks checking it out. You haven't found anything that's obviously a trap. You've checked for floor plates. You checked for things in the walls. You've kind of sent the lights around to see if there's any gelatinous cubes hiding and haven't found anything. So you're feeling pretty safe at this point. Mac, go ahead and let's do a check for this altar. Are you giving a look over, or are you trying to do something more along the lines of a religious nature, recalling history or something like that?
Yeah, I think he's going to probably, he's from here, so I think he would lean more on the history side. Yeah, I think that's
okay.
That's probably maybe not the best person to be checking this altar out, but he's intrigued. So
sure, go ahead and roll me a history check.
Oh, well, that is a 17 minus 1 for a 16.
Okay. You're thinking about it, and, you know, the guys outside were talking about treasure, and you haven't really seen much, and you're looking at this altar, and it's got runes carved across the bottom and symbols, and thinking, well, you know, this is probably that old scholar probably wasn't really, probably didn't care so much about treasure. He was probably looking for stuff like this. And as you look down one side of the altar, you see that there's a whole bunch of runes, and it almost looks like a whole story has been carved into the side. And there are pictures of people standing in bright lights and a whole bunch of really interesting stuff like that. But you don't see anything, nothing lighten up or anything, literally, as you're looking it over.
Interesting. Well, he'll make a note of that and, you know, maybe make a quick rubbing of some of those, just to sort of, you know, have a little proof that we were here and, you know, actually did go and investigate.
That's smart. I really like that. Go ahead and take inspiration. I haven't given that out this game. Go ahead and take inspiration. I like that.
Thanks.
Let's go over to Saran and Birch. You get over to these double doors and you realize that they are intricately carved with arcane symbols just all over them. And you see that on each of them, there's two symbols that are larger than the other. So you've got four symbols arrayed in a square that kind of feature larger than all the others that are just intricately carved into the stone of these large double doors. What would you like to do?
Point those out to Squeakers, you know, as our main magic user. You know, I asked Saran first if he knows anything about him or if it makes any sense to him, those four symbols.
I'm a simple man with gold on the brain, but
you can roll an arcana check if you'd like.
Yeah, I've sailed. I might know a thing or two. We'll see. I've been around enough to get a 16.
Hey, nice. Yeah, you've been around. You've been on ships. Sometimes ships have, you know, they call them like stormkeepers, mages that are good at keeping the weather from completely destroying the ship. And you've even poked your head over Squeaker's shoulder when she's working on her spell book. And you're looking at these runes and like what they mean, you don't know, but they definitely look like the kinds of runes that you've seen mages and wizards use for whenever they're recording things about spells or in their spell books.
Yeah, I would definitely say that these runes here are spell related. So they might have something to do with whatever Mac found at the altar.
All right.
Squeakers, they kind of call you over, ask you to take a look. What do you make of these?
Real? Runes, magic. Arcana check.
Yeah, you actually, without even making a check, you look them over and you're thinking about it. You've studied magic long enough. You don't know every spell in the book, so to speak, but you've at least heard about them and you know the writing system and what the symbols mean and how to combine them to mean certain spells and that sort of thing. And you realize that each one of these four runes corresponds to a different spell. And I don't know if you've ever cast any of these. Some of them you've certainly never cast. But you realize that the first one corresponds to the spell Hypnotic Pattern. The second one corresponds to the spell Dream. The third one corresponds to the spell Prestidigitation. And the fourth one corresponds to the spell Arcane Gate.
Okay, so Hypnotic Pattern. And that one, Dream, Prestidigitation. Oh, hey, I know that one! And Arcane Gate. Well, they represent spells.
If that says Zool on there, I'm out of here.
No.
Oh, lucky, it only says Dana.
I thought there was no Dana.
Yeah.
You said there were runes over on the altar? Yeah?
Yes. I took a little rubbing of the runes.
I'll scamper over to the altar and check those out.
Yeah, as you look over them, they're not so much for spells, but runes for ancient lore.
Okay. What is the condition of the room? Like, is it dusty or, like, old, grimy, or is it in, like, actually kind of surprisingly good condition?
It's a bit dusty. It's not musty, I wouldn't quite say, but yeah, it's a bit dusty. The altar itself has some crumble to it. The doors look great. They look like they're in great condition.
I will walk back over to the doors and cast Prestidigitation, getting rid of all the dust in the room.
Nice. The room is spotless.
Did anything happen to the doors?
No.
I'm going to bring like the lights like up close and I'm going to really look and like, is there an indent where the runes are? Like maybe you're supposed to press them or cast a spell at them. Anything to indicate?
Hey, you kind of get a little close and just kind of cautiously reach out and get your finger close. Do you touch it?
I'll touch the Prestidigitation.
Nice. Yeah, you touch the Prestidigitation one and it starts to glow blue. The actual carved in part of the rune lights up blue with a kind of arcane energy.
Okay. Well, we got color, so it's doing something. You don't hear any clicks or anything? Maybe like the dart, like unlocked? Is it even locked? Did y'all check to see if it was locked?
No, not yet. I usually try not to open doors with magical symbols on them first.
Right.
Before I have someone else inspect it.
Blindly.
Mac pushes on the door.
It does not budge. Do you push near the middle where the runes are?
Yeah. Is it like open from the middle or?
Yeah, it's double doors opens from the middle.
Yeah, he'd push more in the middle then.
Yep. Okay. Would you reckon you touch one of those runes?
Ooh. Okay. So there was the Prestidigitation and what were the other two?
Hypnotic Pattern, Dream, yeah. And Arcane Gate.
Well, I think, I assume, you know, this gets explained at some point. So I think he's going to touch the Dream one.
All right. As you start to push on the door to see if it budges, it doesn't budge. And you look down and you see that the underneath your hand, the Dream rune is glowing slightly red. I need you to make a dexterity saving throw, please.
Okay. And is this something that I can see?
Yeah, we'll say it is. I'm going to need Squeakers to make that throw also, because I believe you're also within 5 feet of the doors.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, deck save. Good thing I get advantage on this, because that first one is a natural one. And the second one is a natural 5 for a 7 total.
All right. And Squeakers, what did you get?
I got a nat 20.
Nice. Squeakers, you see it light up red, and you immediately hop right back. And Macca, you're like, it won't budge. And then you look down, you see the red, and then zap. A jolt of arcane energy lashes out at you, and you take 7 lightning damage.
Ooh, lovely.
And all the runes go blank.
Ow, first off, ow. Secondly, I wonder if there's an order we're supposed to do these in, or if you were just able to touch the prestidigitation one because you had done the prestidigitation. Do you know dream? I don't know spellcasting. Is that something in your wheelhouse?
Oh, I think so. I don't recognize the other three.
If y'all like look at her book, like, yeah, she's got spells, but in between spells, there's recipes, and there's definitely like drawings of donuts and coffee all over it.
Let's see. Prestidigitation, that's a cleaning, a dreaming. That's what you do when you're asleep.
Squeakers, you would know that the spell dream is a lot stronger magic than what you're used to casting. That's something up around 5th level.
Oh, level spell. I think I get it. I don't think Finky would get it, but I think I get it.
Well, while all this is going on, let me just kind of flash cut over to the rest of the group here. What are the rest of you doing?
Birch is just watching them to see what's going on, trying to make sure that everyone's still okay. I kind of check in with Mac and see how he's doing. And, you know, same thing with Squeakers.
Nice.
Touch and base, see how they're doing, and just kind of keeping an eye on them.
Yeah, got a little shocked.
About Kermie or Saran?
I have lit up a pipe of tobacco.
Smoke break.
Because I got him.
Kermie is picking at the dirt under his nails.
As this is going on, Mac's gears are turning. Squeakers is trying to figure out what step to take next. So what would the party like to do?
Are there handles on the door?
There are not.
I was wondering if it was a pull door instead of a push.
Are we under an hour since we entered?
An hour since you entered. Yes, I believe so.
So Squeakers would have had the unseen servant like following behind the group.
Okay, nice.
So she's going to be, you know what? I got a thing. Everybody back up. Like she like starts shoving everybody to make sure they're like 10, 15 feet away from the door. And then she says, mm-hmm. Okay, start pushing buttons. The unseen servant is going to go and start mashing buttons.
What happens? Okay. Are you going to suggest any particular order or anything like that?
I think we're going to go start with prestidigitation, since that one didn't cause anything.
Okay. Yeah, it lights up blue.
All right. Okay, now remove your hand. Does it stop glowing?
Prestidigitation is still blue after the hand comes on.
Okay. Try hypnotic pattern.
It lights up blue.
Push that one. Oh, hey! We're getting somewhere. Okay. All right. I really don't want to push the one that Mac pushed because that one really kind of hurt. What is that one?
Dream.
Dream was the one to not push, right? Because that's the one.
No, I'd say gate last.
Gate last, you think? Okay. I don't want to push it. Okay. Push the dream one. Push that one.
The servant pushes dream and it lights up blue.
Oh, okay. All right. So do the last one. And like Squeakers like dives and hides behind whoever's closest to her.
It's Kermie.
What's going on?
Kermie, you look up trying to figure out why this wizard's diving behind you for cover as you
see, he was digging way under his fingernails.
As you see these two big stone doors with 3 runes lit up in blue, and you see as an unseen, so I guess you don't see, hand touches the rune for Arcane Gate, the rune lights up blue and the doors shudder and open.
Oh, that's pretty.
Wow, we really guessed it on our first try. We're fucking good at this. We deserve a raise.
I just figured it's a gate that's got to be the last one. If it wasn't, you was either first or last.
Yeah, that makes sense. Hey, yo, high five.
Give her a high five.
Kermie gives her a high five.
Yeah, next cool. Light. I was actually talking to the servant that you guys can't see. But yeah, that's cool. Thanks for the high five.
Kermie doesn't know what's going on anymore.
Yeah, we got it on the first try, and his hair's all frizzed out from getting shocked.
Oh, hey! Squeakers will come over and, like, clap you on the ears and cast prestidigitation and, like, make your hair normal, and you look like you fix your clothes and all of that.
Thank you kindly.
Saran just kind of stares at Squeakers coldly and yet somehow approvingly.
Hi.
she really is the glue that keeps us all together, huh?
Yep.
Well, you're just a bunch of fighters and, you know, other things, but y'all like fight. Oh, never mind. To the door. And she'll start walking. And then, like, right before she goes through, she goes, hello, are one of you bigger people going to go first?
Huh? I start making my way.
Thank you.
To the door.
Birch wants to look through the door. Is it lit up or is it dark?
It's dark.
My time to shine.
What can I see?
Yeah, so you kind of huddle around the entryway and in the darkness, you see a large circular room, and at the center of the room is a figure kneeling.
I look to, and I wait, Luodon, as I give a slight bow.
Nothing happens.
Maybe it isn't her.
So it's a figure. Is it a statue, or is it a person?
I guess I'm going to assume you kind of would maybe get a little more light over and get a better look. And it appears to be a skeleton wearing a suit of armor, and it is crouching, holding a sword, a gleaming sword that has been thrust point first into the ground.
Oh, it's just a dead guy. No biggie.
That's disrespectful.
Birch is very cautious. And I kind of stop there.
Yeah, Max says, I do like swords.
This one's real shiny.
That is real shiny. And I believe I am very interested in riches, as I recall. That's kind of why we're here, right?
No, we're here to clear it out, not riches.
Well, yeah, but
I'm here for the riches.
We're clearing it out because we want to get paid. So first you clear it out, then you get paid. That's how these things go.
True.
But yeah, he's going to, he said, I'll hold back if that's your judgment call. But I also really, can I dibs that sword? I'm dibsing the sword.
I mean, I'm not going to touch the sword. We came here to do a job. We cleared everything that we could have cleared. And I don't know if these remains here are going to be a problem.
Probably not, right?
I mean, you do see a gleaming sword, and this looks like, you know, the place that you go for people to die.
Yeah, but what if the sword is enchanted somehow, and it would be something that, I don't know. I just want the sword. And Mac begins walking up.
Do you really want to do that when you just got shocked for trying to take something that, you know, like, with not hitting the right button on a door? I can maybe try something. I mean, unless you want to do it. You're welcome to do it. Sure.
I mean,
you call dibs. I mean, that kind of does get it.
Well, yeah. I can still hand it to him. I just didn't know if he wanted to be the one to actually grab it.
Maybe you could have your unseen pal go and tap the skeleton, see if it's gonna, you know, I don't know, come to life or something.
Sure, I got an idea. Doop, doop, doop. And I'll walk a little bit into the room. And I'll have, like, serve it. Come on, over here. All right, so go and see if that thing is alive and try to take the sword. Okay, got it? Okay.
And I'll send my servant over to go try to grab the sword.
Yeah, so you're kind of all anxiously waiting right there just inside the room as the servant goes over. And you see the skeletal armor get nudged a little bit, and then it starts moving. And it stands up and pulls the sword out of the ground. And we're going to roll initiative one more time.
Oh, man. I was really hoping for that sword to just be an easy thing to get.
Just go take it from him.
Yeah, I told you.
Well, maybe I will.
Birch rolled a 9.
I got a 19.
Beck got an 8.
Kermy got an 18.
Squeaker's got a 7.
That's what we call a bimodal distribution.
And Saran is up first.
All right. So I start making my way into the room, and I draw from my hip my longsword and from my back my rapier. And I am going to just straight go all in, and I'm going to attack him.
All right. Make your attack.
That is going to be a dank 20 with the longsword.
All right.
D8. Oh, my God. So that's going to be 9 points of slashing damage from the longsword. And then from the rapier, that is a 19.
Yep. Roll damage.
Which is also a D8. And because I'm a dark elf, I have proficiency with it. So that is going to be another 10. So that's going to be 18 points of slashing damage.
Kermit, you are up next.
Yeah, I'm holding my turn for now.
Okay. The armor is going to take a swing back at Saran at this point. First roll is actually not going to be great. It's just a 10. I guess that's not going to hit.
Oh, that's definitely not going to hit.
And then as it misses with the sword, it slams into you, this time for a 22 to hit.
Ooh, yeah.
You realize that the armor itself, like there's just like a skeleton underneath, but the armor itself actually looks like it's in pretty good condition as one of those shoulder pauldrons just slams right into you for 6 bludgeoning damage.
Ooh, I felt that. All right.
And now we're going to go to Birch.
All right. I'm going to use a bonus action and tie the vial of the acid to the end of the arrow.
Okay, all out.
And that's going to be an 18 to hit.
Yes, 18 hits.
All right. For 9 points of piercing damage.
Okay.
And do I get any added bonus for the acid vial?
I'll give you a d4.
Alrighty. For 3 points of acid damage.
Nice. Anything else on your turn?
No, because I'm keeping distance.
Okay. Mac, you're up, and then Squeakers is next in the initiative order after that.
All right. I'll go ahead and bonus action. I'll fly into a rage.
Yeah.
And strike out at this thing with the great sword. And he says, now, don't you go messing up that sword. I had dibs on it. And he's got to roll up. 10. I'm going to go ahead and use that inspiration, if that's all right.
Yeah, that's fine.
I'd like to go ahead and roll this and hit this, preferably. Hey, 18 plus 6, that's 24. Does 24 hit this thing?
Nice. Yes, sir.
All right. Let's see. That damage is pretty juicy when I'm raging. That's 16 damage.
Excellent. You get a good hit on the armor, and the whole armor kind of rumbles, and you see, like, bones fall out of it. And you're starting to kind of look at it, and it's like, okay, the skeleton's not really moving. The armor is. Anything else on your turn?
No, I think bonus move attack. That about sums it up.
Alrighty. Squeakers.
I would like to do a firebolt, please.
Okay, go for it.
19.
19 hits. Rolling hot.
Alrighty. 7 damage. Fire damage.
Excellent. Anything else on your turn? You're still over kind of the door, so you're good 25, 30 feet away or something.
Nah, I'm good.
All right. The bones are starting to fall out of this thing as it's a little more shaky on its standing. Kermy, did you have something else you wanted to do on this round since you delayed your turn?
Not really.
All right. We're going to be back to you here in a minute because you're after Saran, who is next at the top of the order.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to go in for another flurry.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to first go with my longsword. That is a 19 to hit.
There you go. That'll hit.
That is going to be... Oh, that one's not that great. That is going to be 4 points.
Okay.
And then coming in with a rapier with the 16.
16 does not hit. Yeah, you hit it good with the longsword, and you go for a stab with the rapier, and you see that it actually just passes through a gap in the armor and appears to do pretty much no damage at all. Doesn't even catch a bone or anything on the inside. Anything else on your turn?
I'm just going to shout out to the group that it certainly seems like it's the armor that is the target here.
All right, Kermy, you're up. Would you like to take a shot at it?
Yeah, Kermy pulls out the longbow and, shoot a longbow at it.
All right.
Let's see if it can break the armor somewhere. How's an 11? Nothing.
Doesn't quite catch it.
Yeah, okay, so... Kermy fumbles with longbow.
Well, goddamn it! What the hell is going on with my day?
Okay. Anything else on your turn? Any movement or anything you want to do?
No.
All right. Good deal. The armor is up, and it's just going to take another swing at Saran. Closest thing, the thing that's probably done the most damage, possibly. And this time, another swing with that sword. This time it rolls a 19 with the sword.
That hits.
10 slashing damage. This brings the sword down on you.
Juicy hit.
And then it is going to slam into you again. Tries to body check you, but you stumble a little bit from that juicy hit. You're not quite positioned where it thought you were going to be in it. And it goes wide with a 5 to hit. And now we're going to go back to Birch.
Right, so I'm going to take another great shot, and that is going to be a 21 to hit.
That hits. Roll damage as this thing is starting to shake a little bit with each hit.
10 piercing damage.
Oh, it is barely hanging on. Let's go to Mac. What do you have?
The Mac has a big sword and knows how to use it. He's gonna strike out again and just say, well, I wonder what the answer is for solving this little puzzle, and I think it's the suit of armor. And strikes out with rolls a 4 plus 6 is 10. I'm gonna guess that the 10 doesn't hit.
It does not. Too busy thinking about puzzles and not aiming quite right. Yeah. Anything else on your turn?
Yeah, he's so confident that he's like, all I got to do is hit the armor. He's like, he forgets to hit the armor. Can I move in such a way to flank with...
Yeah, you can position yourself around the backside.
Yeah, if I could take like a guarded step or something along those lines, just to try and gain the advantage, so to speak. Mm-hmm.
Okay, Squeakers.
Yep, seeing him move out of the way, I'm going to pull out a fun little orb that's really just energy, and I'm throwing it at the thing. And casting Chromatic Orb.
Wonderful. Make that spell attack roll.
All right. That's a 16.
16 doesn't quite get it. You're concentrating on making sure you don't hit your allies, and the orb sails over their heads as you miss on the armor. We are going to go back to the top of the order with Saran.
Well, hopefully everybody, you know, kind of hoping that people are going to start getting my back a little better. I'm going to use an action to action surge.
Okay. What are you going to do with that extra action and regular action, bonus action, full of actions?
So many actions. So the first thing I'm going to do is second wind. Mm-hmm. That'll allow me to heal 1d10 plus 2. Come on, I hope I get something. I'll take it. It's 11 HP.
Nice. Deep breath and got your second wind. What's next?
And I'm just going to keep on going with what I know. And I'm just going to keep on hacking and slashing.
All right. Make some attack rolls then.
Yep. Long sword, that is going to be a 17.
17 does not hit.
Would he get advantage on this for my positioning?
I don't think so in this case.
Okay. All right.
The armor raises the gleaming sword and blocks your long sword. And then do you still have an attack with the rapier?
Yes, I do.
All right. Well, I'll let you roll that then.
Oh, that's going to be a 24.
Ooh, yeah. Go ahead. Let's roll damage. It's on the edge.
And so this one is going to be... Oh my God, that's amazing. So the first hit was distraction, more or less. And then following it up with 8 plus 3, so that's going to be 11. And then my proficiency bonus, that's going to make it a 14.
Plenty. How do you want to do this? Describe that finishing blow.
All right. So, you know, I come in from a diagonal with the longsword going straight up. And as it brings its sword down on to my longsword, that's when I go for the helmet shot with the rapier. And the momentum of the point, it's enough to pierce the skull. But with the armor obviously being armor, it just bounces off from the forward momentum. And so you just see at the very tip, just an impaled skull, and then the helmet just flies 10 feet in which direction? That direction. Yeah, that direction. And then the whole thing just collapses.
The rest of the armor clatters to the ground as if a page or a squire had just dropped it, and the room goes still as we are out of initiative.
You look like you were doing fine.
Yeah. I just kind of give him a look as I, full Ronin style, just flick the skull off of my rapier, and it just cracks on the floor.
Mech says, I believe I did call dibs on this here sword. Looks quite nice.
As you see that, the sword like lifts up and starts walking away.
Hey, wait a second. Wait a second. Oh,
you can give it to him. You can give it to him.
Down here.
Saran, how you feeling?
Arguably, that second win was pretty good on me. That's improv for 17 out of 22.
All right. Bad.
So Since this thing was as much trouble as it was, I'm going to check out this armor.
Yeah, you kind of poke around at it. It's, you know, it's some old armor. It looks like because of the enchantment that was on it that animated it, it has maintained its quality, I guess. So it's not like rusting and everything, but it's almost as if the armor was holding the skeleton together. But it kind of, it's just armor now. Now that you've hit it enough, it's broken the enchantment and it's a pile of armor. It's not plate. It's not the best armor in the world, but it's in okay condition still, I suppose.
Okay. Well, I suppose I don't need it. And I'd say we've got this place cleared out. What do you think?
There are a couple other doors that we haven't gone through.
Yeah, so as the situation dies down, you start looking around the room a little more than you had. That armor kind of took your focus immediately, and you didn't get a real chance to check the whole room, but you see that it's a very nice room. It's circular. It's like 50, 60 feet across or something like that. And in all four ordinal directions, you came in from the east, in all four ordinal directions, there's a pair of stone double doors, just like the ones you came through, except on this side, there's no markings. There's no runes. They're plain. It's almost as if everything was closed, it would look like a solid wall all the way around, other than the fact that you can tell there are doors there. And the group spends a good amount of time like looking them over, seeing if you can get them open, checking for more traps. You go back into the other room to check those two other doors that you found. Looks like on the south side, it is just a service hallway. It's got a branch, but that's been caved in. The other hallway is, it just loops around, except it's caved in also, so you can't even get through it from both sides. And you spend a good probably hour checking out the rest of this place and feeling that you've got it pretty well secured. At that point, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, congratulations. You've made your way through this adventure. I guess as we kind of wind down here, what's running through the party members' minds as you're thinking about heading back to inform the scholar that you think you've got this place cleared out? We'll just go around. Start with Saran.
Oh, can't wait to get paid, and I'm going to get a little extra on the top.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if I should spend this or save it.
Mac, you've got a real nice sword now, and as you spent some time with it, you would come to realize that it's very finely made, and it is magical in nature. It's a +1 longsword.
Nice.
What are you thinking about as it's time to head back and tell the scholar that you finished the job?
He's thinking, you know, well, we hopefully with a little bit of scratch that we get from this job, maybe selling the sword or selling his old sword, you know, we can open up that donut shop. He's thinking, what's a good donut shop name? Something like We Need Donuts, or, you know, something clever, catchy, something like that. And he's just going through different names for donuts in his mind. He's kind of twirling the sword around, as you do.
As you do. Kermy, you've kind of been hanging out with this ragtag group for a little bit and seen some weird things. What are you thinking about as you're heading back to town?
All right. Probably not much. More frustrated at the fact that he is no good at his longbow anymore.
Something fell off about it, huh?
Yeah.
It's one of those bad days.
Maybe cursed a little.
Cursed longbow. Sounds like an interesting quest.
Indeed.
It's the string. It's always the string.
Unless Squeaker's mischievous friend had something to do with it.
Over there tapping the bottom of it.
And just... <boing. laughs>
I'll never tell.
Tom and Jerry me, I dare you.
No, never.
Birch, you had a couple good shots with your bow today. What are you thinking about?
Yeah, old Trusty was doing his job pretty well. Definitely just make sure I give her a nice oil and tuning when we get some downtime again. You know, rechecking some arrows. I know I lost a few there, but that's easy. Otherwise, just kind of, you know, seeing what else the old man mage is going to need, giving him a lay of the land, kind of drawing it out in my head, just, you know, used to drawing some simple charts or maps for scouting. I'm trying to put that in my head, just giving him something to go off of and what we saw, what we found, doors, rough sizes of stuff. You know, make sure he knows about the pit. He'll have to cross over that. Might actually work out in his favor if he brings something to be able to cross over it and then bring it, pull it back across with him so that he can kind of work uninterrupted, potentially.
I love ideas going.
So, I mean, he may even have some other spells up his sleeve, but yeah, beyond that, still thinking about how to do a, maybe not a spicy jelly donut, maybe something with kind of a fun zing to it, like an interesting, what's a good jelly we, you know, isn't used too often, has a fun flavor.
All right. And Squeakers, bring us home here. What's on your mind?
So Squeakers, first off, she's sitting there chugging coffee while stretching out her calves because they're all cramped up from walking on her toes so much. And so she's like doodling as we're walking back. And so, okay, let's see. We've got coffee jelly. And oh, if we want a zing, maybe we can like double the coffee. I don't know. It seems like it has a special name, like maybe like an espresso. Maybe. Oh, this is a good idea. He's jotting and drawing. He's like, oh, name of the place. What about the donut hole? Oh, donuts. What if they had holes in the middle? Oh, they wouldn't be able to fit jelly, but oh, you could take the little hole piece and like run it around in sugar. Oh, I think this is a good idea. Oh, goodness. I like this idea a lot. Oh, wait a minute. We didn't leave two behind. All six of us are going back. We didn't leave two behind. What are we supposed to do?
Look, that was, don't worry about what my old story from the sergeant. That was more probably for him to scare us. That's all. Don't worry about it.
Are you sure?
We're positive.
Still going to get paid.
I'm positive. We're all getting paid. We're fine. Don't worry about leaving anyone behind. We didn't leave anyone behind.
Yeah, leave tomorrow's problems for tomorrow's scholar.
Is that the scholar's name, Tomorrow?
It just might be. Oh, and with that, that's we're going to close it out there, I think. Thank you so much. This was a fun adventure. I had a blast and had a lot of fun. As you get back to town, the scholar is just animated and just thrilled to hear that he's going to get to go check this place out. And who knows, maybe one of those passageways that was full of rubble might be able to be cleared, or maybe one of those doors can get opened and lead to another adventure, because the hills around here have a lot of hidden tunnels, a lot of old shrines, a lot of old crypts. So that's something for another adventure, I think.
Excellent.
Very cool.
Awesome.
If you haven't seen it already and you're listening to this, the adventure is called The Buried Shrine of Luida. And I've got a kind of a numbering system for my adventures. It's going to be adventure number FR-5. So if you check out onepagemage.com, patreon.com/onepagemage, or on my Twitter at onepagemage, you should be able to find it.
Yeah.
Very cool.
That's awesome.
It's really fun, and it seems like it would be easy to drop into your own campaign if you're just needing a quick module for a night or something like that. So it's really fun.
Yeah.
And it's great to have, you know, the author actually DM for us too.
So. Yeah.
Heck yeah.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Thank you. I had fun. I was a little disappointed I didn't get to engulf anybody with that gelatinous cube as it pushed you towards the edge. And
I tried to set up Kermy for it. I'm like, please. It's like, it's either he's going to fall into the pit and something happens, or the gelatinous cube is going to get him. Which is it?
And as soon as you were like, it's a shimmering wall, I'm like, all right, I'm either going to poke it with the arrow, or I'm going to try just lobbing the arrow into it, and ended up getting a high roll for damage. But yeah, so
it works. You almost got Dan. So Dan, what did you think?
Yeah, I was a little worried there, because I was like, oh man, the positioning is just such that I can get up to it and hit it and then not quite get far enough back.
Yeah, that's one of the nice things I like about that encounter, is the cube takes up the entire space in one direction. You can't get past it, and it's going to keep moving towards you, and you've got that pit that you've got to try to keep distance to jump across, and it's just a really fun encounter to run as a DM.
Yeah, awesome. I could see that, especially like put on like a real hard timer. That would be fun, because it's like, you know, you have, again, that sort of fallback plan, but you know, it's a matter of how quickly can you decide to which one you're gonna do,
right? Or even jazzing it up a little bit, like saying like the first move that the gelatinous cube makes is like 5 feet, and then you go like, yeah, and now it moves 10 feet on its next one, and then 15 on its next one. Oh yeah. Guess what, 20. And just
now,
like,
you're trying to give Paul ideas when he hears this. This is
So definitely before we go, we need one last time for Alchemist Fire and One Page Mage. Give us another rundown on both your guys. And
yeah, alchemistfirebbq.com. You can find me on Twitter at I can't do the full name on Twitter because it's just a bit too long. So it's AlchemistBBQ, or on Instagram at AlchemistFireBBQ. That's just singular AlchemistFireBBQ.
Awesome. Thank you very much. Cool. Thank you again for playing with us. And One Page Mage.
Yeah, this is the One Page Mage, and I write one page one shot adventures for 5th edition of a very popular tabletop role playing game. And you can find those adventures, some for free and some exclusive to Patreons, at patreon.com/onepagemage. All of my adventures are published in PDF format in 4 different varieties. So I've got the classic parchment theme and also printer friendly and a couple others. So please go check those out. And if you're interested in playing on a virtual tabletop, I do have maps for these adventures available as well for certain tiers on Patreon. So if you like that, please reach out to me on social media. I'm pretty active on Twitter at One Page Mage, and happy adventures.
Awesome. Thanks again.
Yes. Thank you guys very much. Thank you for a great DM, Alchemist Fire Barbecue. Thank you very much for joining us as a guest PC.
Yeah.
Great job, everyone. Thank you very much.
Ooh. Y'all take care.
Thanks, guys.
Yes. Thank you, everyone.
It was a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
Have a good night, guys.
Hope you all take care.
Hey, you too.
Bye, everyone.
All right. Until next time.